Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:04 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:04 p.m. on the West Coast. Wherever you are in the world, that's what time it is. Wherever you are in the world, today is February the 10th, 2024. One day away from America's greatest pastime. And yes, some people will dispute me on that comment. But what has now become America's greatest pastime will kick off tomorrow, known as the Super Bowl. So we're going to talk about that later on in the show. Welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. And we have some topics we're definitely going to talk about. Of course, we're going to get into the political realm because there's always something happening in politics, no matter if it's in the morning, in the afternoon, or even when you sleep. There's something happening in the political world. So we're going to get into that, and then we're going to talk about that. But then there's something else that's coming up, too, that people, I haven't really heard a lot of folks talk about. Maybe it's just me. Everything's the Super Bowl. But next week is Valentine's. Who is Valentine's Day for? I just have that question. Maybe you can tell me your thoughts or opinions. But what is Valentine's Day for? Now, in past shows over the years, we have talked about, you know, how it came about and this and that and the other. But what is Valentine's Day to you? You know, what's so special about this particular day every year in February? You know, of course, we know it's candy and flowers are the traditional thing, but what is Valentine's Day all about? At one time to say, I love you, you know, I mean, what is it? Just curious, your thoughts and opinion. Again, want to welcome to the show. And by the way, speaking on the Super Bowl, I have some friends that live in Las Vegas, and one of them they're going to try to chime in later on in the show. They're out and about. They do some Uber driving and everything, and they just text me and told them it took 30 minutes to go 3/4 of a mile. 30 minutes. Now, that ain't traffic. I can walk 3/4 of a mile in 30 minutes or less. But, yeah, pretty interesting. So hopefully they're going to be able to say they're going to, you know, try to chime in and just give us a little bit about what's happening in Vegas. In fact, I reached out to a couple of other friends of mine that live out there, another young lady who happens to know who Travis Kelce is. Yeah, you know, that's Taylor's man. That's Taylor's beau. And come to find out that Travis liked a little bit of chocolate before he went to the cream, you know? You know what I'm saying? So, well, we'll see. We'll see if this is all working out, you know, if it's going to work out as I see it or planning it. But without further ado, let me open up the mic to the lady of the house, the one, the only, Janet Pauly Hawkins Davis. Happy Saturday, Janet. How you doing?
I'm okay. Hello. How are you? I said I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay. I guess I'm just like you. I'm okay. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something. Now, I know Janet's a little upset with me, and she has right to be, but it's not an excuse. It's just a fact of where, you know, I think I mentioned this before on the show last week or whatever, but I had a phone, right, and I had the cover on it. I had the screen protector on it and all that good stuff, and I dropped it a few times here and there, right, cracked, right? And so then all of a sudden it started doing what they call black screen. It'll come on, and then all of a sudden the screen would just go black. Not fade, just go black. And I'm like, oh, hell. And so then I contacted a friend of mine. They said, oh, yeah, man, it's probably where your screen is just so bad, you know, this and the other. I'm like, okay, so what I do? And they said, well, hit the power button and hit the volume down button, and the phone will actually reboot itself. Which is interesting because the thing is that I'm sure you guys probably have not had to go through it, but I did it and come to realize that the phone will actually kind of like vibrate. It's kind of like, you know, trying to boot itself, right? And it worked. I'm like, great. I didn't realize I had to do this all the time. I had to constantly do this. And every time it will boot, the phone will stay on for maybe a few seconds and then black out again, do it again. Later on, it started staying on for a few minutes. Maybe even the whole half hour. But it got to the point, hey, look, Mike, you got to buy another phone. So I did, like a week ago. Different brand, different provider. I've been with Metro PCS for over 20-something years. And trust me, when I told them I was leaving, they were like, well, we can do this, we can do that. I'm like, no, I can do this. I can just leave your service. It's not meaning just their service now, okay? I had issues, but they've been good with me. But the thing is that where I just got a better cost because I needed to drop my phone bill from $70 to $50. $20 makes a difference, y'all. So that's what I did. But I still have to learn how to use this new phone, okay? Just the other day, I'm standing here with a couple of the co-workers, management, or whatever, and we're talking. And one of them said, is that your phone ringing? And I look, and I'm like, oh, that is my phone ringing. I haven't even got used to what my ringer sounds like. I haven't even got into all that stuff, you know. So I'm learning new stuff, I guess. I'm just beginning old, Janet. I'm having to relearn a lot of stuff and reprogram. But my apologies, but I have to learn a lot of it. Okay, so let's get into the politics. And by the way, you said that you're doing well. Are you planning on watching the game tomorrow? We're not going to talk about the game right now, but are you planning on watching the game tomorrow, though?
I don't know yet. Probably.
Yet.
Not yet. It depends.
See?
If I'm not going to sit and watch it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if my family is doing a little get together, I'll watch it. If not,
Okay. So let's look at the political aspects here. And you had sent over some topics here. So let me go ahead and pull them up. See, now I got to, even though I'm on the phone, I have to go back and look for what I'm trying to find and re-log in and all that crap. It's crazy. So I got to learn to, you know, I have to really program my phone the way I need to program it, like my old phone was. All right, so please bear with me. So I'm trying to scroll through and find where you have my topics for the show. Okay. Here we are. Okay, so let's look at, before we get into Donald Trump, Fannie Willis hit with bombshell new legal filings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let me open this up, because for all of those who don't know, Fannie was Fannie Willis is the DA here in Georgia that has a case against Donald Trump. I'm sure you guys are aware of that, of all his cases. Apparently she admitted that she had a relationship with one of her staffers. Okay, so, but of course, it should not, according to them, it should not change the setting of what's happening in the court against Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump. Okay, but you know that Trump's team is going to definitely use this to their advantage. Why wouldn't they? They're the defense attorneys. Stretch it out. Okay, so let me just read this article real quick. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis has been hit with a new court filing accusing her of not being forthright about her relationship with a prosecutor she hired to work on the Donald Trump election interference case. In filing submitted in Georgia court, a lawyer for Michael Rowland said the DA's relationship with Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade had begun earlier than they had disclosed. A Roman, a former White House aide to Trump, was charged alongside the former president and 17 others in Willis's RICO, Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organization probe. He has pleaded not guilty to 7 counts in the Georgia case, and Trump, the front runner in the 2024 Republican primary race, pleaded not guilty to 13 charges under Willis's probe. The former president has repeatedly said the case is a politically motivated witch hunt to stop him from winning November's election. Let me read this last part. Roman's attorney, Ashley Merchant, has previously accused Willis of having an improper clandestine personal relationship with Wade, including going on holiday together while working on the case. Willis admitted she had a personal relationship with Wade in court filing last week, but said that it started only after the case against Trump begun. Interesting. Oh, by the way, chat room is open, you guys. So if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS, you can join the chat room. I'm getting a response. What's up, Michael? Loving time listener. Long time listener. I'm sorry. I'm calling in. Okay, you call in. Cool. And for you folks that want to call in, if you're listening online, you can call into the number at 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. So we're going to go through this whole political thing that's been happening. Janet, what is your thoughts on this here now? I mean, because it seemed like Fannie had a good ball rolling, but all of a sudden here comes her personal life. You know, they're going to dig into anything they can find against her, but now they found something, which it don't look good. Of course it don't look good. But what's your thoughts about it? Should it or should it not have an effect on the investigation, which, of course, I'm sure we already know that a grand jury went forward based on the evidence that was brought forward. Should this been thrown out because of her outside relationship, her outside of relationship with someone that is working on the case too?
Well, I don't feel like it has anything to do with the initial RICO case, because, you know, but I wanted just to read a little bit more. Willis and Wade are accused of having enriched themselves by working on the case together because the money that Fani was supposed to have been paying Wade helped them in their little trips, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're trying to say, you know. But I still don't think it has anything to do with throwing out the case, you know, because even if they don't want Franny on it, another attorney within that office should still be able to pick up and carry it through.
Mm-hmm. But still, it goes back to saying that where, I mean, like you said, the money that he was paid and everything. Now, I've read articles where they say, well, it's not that much more than other attorneys or other individuals.
Yeah, they say it's not, and he worked a lot of hours, you know, so you can't, they're grasping for straws. Anything, it's like they're throwing spaghetti against the wall, hoping that one of the noodles or spaghetti will stick.
No, well, noodles might, but I don't know if a meatball. Meatball's a little bit more convinced, but I see what you're saying. Maybe the noodles will, but the meatballs won't. And they're looking for meatballs here. Okay, I get you. But the thing is that we're but doesn't that give Trump's legal team the right to because, of course, if the court has to judge it, you know, it's going to slow down the process because it has to go through the courts, right?
Well, they're trying to say that Tommy Lewis has been lying, and if she lied about having an affair with Wade, then who's to say she's not lying about other things? But we all know what the case started with in Georgia. It started with, find me 11,780 votes, plus the people that were out in Coffee County, the things that they did, that's what started the, and the two women and that there was being accused of putting mail in.
Yeah.
So, you know, but those, so it's like, I don't get it, Mike, how you have a certain party, no matter what they do, it's okay. But you want to always point fingers at what somebody else is doing because you want to deflect. And that's all this is about, just deflecting. Because you don't want, you know, it's like he's saying he's immune. Immune to what? You're immune. You can't be immune to everything. You're no longer president, but you still want the same rights as Biden.
I'm saying he wasn't immune to COVID, but he got it, right? And then he got the cocktail, right, to keep his ass alive. Okay, so he wasn't immune to COVID.
He got the cocktail. Mm-hmm.
Right, but the thing I'm saying is that, okay, and you can look at it two ways. Is that where, you know, I believe a court of law will have to look into this. This is unprecedented. Every bit of this whole thing is unprecedented. I've never heard of anything like this before. I'm sure many others have said that too. But this buys time for Donald Trump to keep his track on going to be president again. Many people say if he's elected before any of these cases are solved, then he can pardon himself.
He's trying hard, Michael. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So as long as they're buying the time, and unfortunately now I bring it on Fani Willis. I put it in her lap because the fact that she had the affair, and look at what's happening with Wade and his wife.
She can step aside and let someone else take case over. So whatever they're saying, it will all go away if she's no longer on the case. That's what their main goal was in the first place. They passed a law to try and get her out of the case, but it didn't work because they said the governor said he wasn't going to remove her, you know, and said that that law had nothing to do with farming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, they're just grasping mm-hmm. for straws. That's all.
Okay, so it's amazing that you, oh, not amazing, but it's interesting that you said that, is that where this is, again, this is where the defense attorneys have to do everything they have to do. When you say grasping for straws, well, of course, as a defense attorney, that's what you do to save your client, right? That's just what you do. Even if you know they're guilty, your job mm-hmm. is to, you know, that is your job.
Oh,
and,
don't
and
take
I would hate
the
to,
case.
Or don't take the case, right? So, but it depends on who's paying you and can they pay you. Questionable about that, too. But either way, the thing I'm saying is that where this still buys them time for what Donald Trump wants is time to run. He doesn't want a court. He doesn't want any of these cases to go through before the election. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he's like, we got to stop any of these cases until the election at all costs. No matter if we have to pull up, you know, stuff on folks, take it to the courts and everything. Now, as you know, that we're in Colorado or where a court said that Donald Trump is not immune, okay, to all these things and the thing about him being on the ballot. Well, you know the next step, they're going to have
mm-hmm.
to take it to the Supreme Court. Now people are saying, well, wait a minute. If he takes it to the Supreme Court, you got to look at the justices that he appointed, and especially one justice, and you know which one I'm talking about. You can say
well, all I know is I haven't gotten that far yet because Cannon tried to make Jack Smith's office get released important information about the witnesses in the cases, and she did something that wasn't good at all, because why would you put people out there? You know, everybody who had something against Trump or want to testify against him, he sends his little minions out there, and they threaten people, and they try to destroy people. Just recently, you know, the leader of the RNC, she's stepping aside because Trump don't want her anymore. Why? Because he's not getting enough money. All the money is going to him anyway. The RNC is broke.
Well, no, the thing is that we're, okay, so the conversation was that we're, if Donald Trump was to ask folks for money for the campaign and they divert it over to his defense, then that's a charge. That's a crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to let people know where the money's going. You cannot, I can't sit up here and stand in front of a store and say, hey, look, you know, I have this organization and I mean, and legally have an organization on paper and ask folks for money and then take that money and use it for something else. And especially not for my own personal.
But if he says send the money to me and not the RNC, then that's something different.
Yeah, but if
money
even,
is not,
even
the money
if
going to
it,
matter to Donald Trump.
But if you're saying to send it to me, and of course, you know, banks and federal government is going to know, you know, there's always a paper trail where that money
mm-hmm.
really goes. Okay, they
mm-hmm.
already know this. So for you to advertise, or if you to say, hey, look, you know, this is for my campaign, I need help with my campaign, but and send it directly to me, not to the RNC, well, however you do it. But if you say it's for what the people think it's for and you're using it for something else, that's a crime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the point. And they already said
mm-hmm.
that, right? So going back to when I said that now this whole case is probably going to go to the Supreme Court, Well, you know, the one individual in the Supreme Court, they want to recuse that individual, or that want that individual to recuse themselves to this whole thing, because the Supreme Court is already hearing the arguments, right? Okay, already went to the Supreme Court hearing the arguments, which you even said, you know, they already did that. They have to make a decision that this one individual did not recuse himself. And why they were asking him to do that? Because his wife, his significant other, is a Donald Trump supporter openly, right? Was, you know, supporting him.
Are
at
you
an
talking
event.
About Thomas?
Who?
You are Thomas? Justice Thomas? Is that what you're talking about?
Thomas, yeah. Yeah, his wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's a supporter of Trump, not a Haley of Trump. She was at an event, right? And so, you know, that Justice Thomas was asked to recuse himself over those arguments. He refused to do so, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now let's look at it this way. Flip the script. He wouldn't recuse himself. His wife is a supporter of Trump, was at, you know, an event. So let's go back to Bonnie and the individual. Well, if you can't make the justice recuse himself, what makes, you know, where Bonnie needs to recuse herself in this?
In order to, to keep from having the trial be delayed, sometimes it's better to step aside, because there's other people who are just as qualified that can take over the case and not have a problem. Just like yesterday, the appeals ruled that Donald Trump was not immune. He doesn't.
Correct.
His immunity appeal was denied. So what is he going to do now? Take it to the Supreme Court? Because
Supreme
that's the only
court,
court
right.
He got left.
Correct. And there's three people that he put in place, correct, on the Supreme Court. It was Kavanaugh.
But you know what, Michael? Right. But that person, the people he put on the Supreme Court, is not supposed to just be there for one person. And just like they got on, they can. If you find that you have the Supreme Court that's rigged, then that's just like destroying. You have people. I mean, why would somebody want to go to the Supreme Court, knowing that?
Well, I'm not going to say the Supreme Court is rigged, because I look at it where when I look at the whole thing. Yeah, if you have
well,
you're more
saying
people.
Three people. So that's I'm saying
three people, I believe. Just let me finish out real quick. I believe he appointed three people to the Supreme Court. Okay, all right. So we got that cleared up. So the thing is that where, you know, unfortunately, you know, not saying these three would do it, but unfortunately there are some people sometimes when they get a position, they try to be loyal to the person that, you know, assisted them to get to where they are. I'm not saying
that's
that that's the case.
I'm
not saying that's the case. But in this particular situation, you know, I have to look at it where, well, but it's not, you know, outside of the scope of things that it could be where they might say, you know, no. Again, I'll say that the one black male justice there, his wife, okay, was at a campaign or at an event for Trump, supporting Trump, this and the other. Also look at him himself, where the allegations of him taking gifts from individuals, trips and, you know, places to stay and private islands or whatever, you know, and this and the other. To me, I think that a Supreme Court justice should never have that type of a connection with people that are powerful. Now, that's my opinion, because I believe that that can be an influence of what that individual wants you to do. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because I look at it this way: if a person is if I'm a powerful person, but then there's someone who's more powerful than me out there, and they have an agenda, and they come to me and they say, "Hey, look, Mike, you know, I really like you. You know, you're a good guy, but I really love for you to really look at this thing and go in our favor, you know. In fact, why don't you meet me? I got an island over here. Betty, I got a condo over in Dubai. Why don't you take about a few weeks off and go over there and just have a good time? I'll take care of it." And that shit don't happen sometimes, right?
That's illegal. No. That's illegal.
You're not supposed to. Right, but the thing is, it happens, and we all know it happens. You can't tell me it's never happened. Not you personally. I'm just saying that no one can tell me that no one has ever taken the bait, because there's people who've been behind bars for doing
that's why the Supreme Court right now is on shaky grounds, because of the things certain justices have done.
Okay.
You know, okay. And everybody know about it. Everybody know about it. Some of them had to redo their taxes because they weren't claiming certain things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But once the people lose faith in the Supreme Court, there's no going back. There's no going back.
Interesting when you say that, when people lose faith in the Supreme Court. It goes back to what I just said, is just the fact of where who's in place. And that to me is interesting. Is there anything, I don't know, maybe you could check it out, or you might already know. Is there anything a Supreme Court justice can do to be removed from power? Do you know of anything?
Michael, they can get impeached. They can get impeached just like everybody else. If you mm-hmm. find out that somebody's not doing something right, you know, that's why they were asking for Thomas to recuse himself. And when he refused to do so, he's only making his own self look bad. Not just him, but he's letting Roberts look bad. Everybody look bad.
Has there ever been a case in U.S. history of a justice being impeached?
I don't know, but I can look it up.
Okay. That would be an interesting, you know, thing to find. Has it ever happened? Because, like I said, this is, you know, uncharted waters of what we're dealing with now with a president. You know, what about other individuals in office? Because, see, they're talking about where if Donald Trump gets away with this, then that opens up the floodgates for any future presidents who wants to do the same thing to pursue doing the same thing, right? I'm sure you've heard that. So my curiosity is that, okay, well, let's go a little step up higher. You got the Supreme Court. What, 9 justices?
Okay, Michael, it's been one other time. In 1804, Chase was impeached by the House of Representatives on grounds of letting his partisan leanings affect the court's decision. Same thing Thomas is doing right now, but was acquitted the following year by the Senate, you know, but he was impeached. It's just like Trump was impeached. He wasn't kicked out of the office, but he was impeached by the House. He was acquitted the following year by the Senate, and he remained in office. He is the only United States Supreme Court justice to have ever been impeached. He was impeached. He just wasn't removed.
Okay, so fine. Thank you for looking that up. All I'm saying is this. Okay, so it has happened once before. We know that Clinton was impeached, but he was not removed as president. Trump, went through an impeachment, which to me is basically an investigation, and they did not lose their positions. But you're saying that this one individual was impeached before.
Yes.
Correct.
In 1804.
And this was a Supreme Court justice.
Justice. Yep.
Okay.
The House impeached him, and the Senate the following year removed him. But he still was impeached.
Okay. So the reason why I ask that is because the thing is that what people say is impossible is not impossible. It can happen with a Supreme Court justice, not just a situation with a president. Remember that, you know, when it came to Nixon resigned, and then he was pardoned. Okay, but apparently there hasn't been an impeachment of the president, and the president was removed from office on an impeachment, totally. But it has happened, as you just read.
President Trump, Clinton was impeached. He remained in office, and he paid a fine and had to do certain things when he got out to keep from having the DOJ go after him. You know, so he did what he needed to do. Right, and so they didn't pursue any more charges or anything against him. And that was Clinton. Mm. That's the last one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there were some stipulations. There were some deals that were done, like in most cases. There were some deals that were done.
Fines had to be paid.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Interesting. So now, here's the question I have. Why is Nikki Haley still running for president?
She needs to stay in as long as she can. And as long as she has Republicans, pendants backing her, she's got the money. It's not like she's running short. She's going to stay in. It'll be a thorn in Trump's side.
Okay, but apparently she's not close to Donald Trump at all. Apparently she's not. Okay, no one. I mean, you look at what happened with that. But let me finish out for a minute. Santos dropped out, you know, during his campaign. He was scheduled to be at a location on the same day that he said, I'm done, right? So what is the real deal here? Is Nikki Haley hanging in there because, you know, she served under Donald Trump? And I do find that what's interesting is that where some individuals could say the worst things about each other, but once they get in a position that's comfortable with them, it's like, oh, now we're friends again. Do you have this feeling? Or at least I do. That Nikki Haley is hanging there, you know, because, let me finish, please. You know that Mike Pence is not going to be his running mate. Normally, in a presidential situation, it's usually, you know, if he's president still, he would still have the same vice president, right? He's not going to change horses in the middle.
You tried to get him hung, you know, good and well.
That's not what I'm saying, Janet. What I'm saying is this, and let me just follow me on this one. Had he won, or had he won the next presidency, Mike Pence would have been his vice president because he was his vice president in the first 4 years. Had he won another 4 years, he would have kept Mike Pence, right? You know, if all this other stuff had not happened. Obviously, Mike Pence is not going to be his choice. He has to pick
somebody. I don't think he would have kept Pence.
No.
I really don't. Let me just say this real quick.
But he's going to have to pick somebody at some point. As long as he's not, you know, being arrested or, you know, whatever the case may be, he's still going to keep going for it. He's going to have to make a decision of who's going to be his running mate. And then again, maybe knowing Donald Trump, he might say, I don't need a vice president. But, yeah, by law, you have to. But he could make that statement. But the thing is that we're, is it safe to say that Nikki Haley is keeping herself on the radar in hopes that, seeing there's no one else at the moment, that he, there's no one else at the moment that he said anything about being his running mate, that she is staying there hoping that he will consider her?
I don't think so, Michael. First of all, Nikki Haley is saying he's too old, just like she's saying Biden is too old, and you need somebody younger. And already, anybody who crosses Trump, you know he crossed them off the list anyway. So she's out. She's out. But I told you, the one who's been trying to get in there is that Stefano, that Stefanos, or whatever her name is, the one who took Cheney's place. Felice Stefano, whatever her name is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you have, what's the black guy in Carolina who say, I love you, to Trump?
Uh-huh. Stop.
Well,
hell no.
Well,
Mr. Beavertooth? No, Mr. Beavertooth could not.
Trump want a yes person. That's all he wants, is a yes person. He wants somebody who will keep him in, because once he gets in this time, he's not planning on getting out.
Well, I would be very shocked if he picked Scott to be his running mate. I would be very surprised if he did. You know,
I'd be shocked if he picked Nikki Haley, because I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm.
You got people backing her right now for a reason.
Oh, she has a lot of she has a lot of followers. I got a follower right here now that just hit the number one. That's going to join the conversation. 301-919. I want to open up your mic. I'm not sure who this is, but welcome to TMGS. How you doing? Who's calling? Where you calling from?
Big Brother, this is Nakisha Best. I'm listening. Y'all doing a great job. Hi, James.
Nakisha, hey, my sister.
Hey, sweetie.
Hey,
nice.
Yeah, thank you. I'm checking you guys out. I love hearing about the preliminaries, and so I am all ears, and I want to let you know that I'm here.
Well, you know that, you know, we touch on the political thing because every day there's something happening in politics, so we try to get that in the, you know, in the mix early on in the show, because we got some other stuff we're going to talk about. But yeah, you know, I mean, if you don't mind, do you think, if you don't mind chiming in, I know that you're not really into the politics, you know, the share, but you're listening, do you think, and this is another question I was going to ask Janet, do you think that there's any chance that Donald Trump will go to jail?
Any chance? Is any chance, yes. How likely is it? I think it's unlikely, but I think there is a chance.
Okay. The reason why I ask that is because, well, the reason I want to just respond. The reason why, because you have scholars, you know, that are, you know, individuals who are, you know, went to school, you know, political science and everything, and they said that the chance of him actually going behind bars are slim to none due to the fact that every president has what? Security. They have Secret Service for life. So are we going to have Secret Service agents camping out at the local prison to watch
over
Donald
Trump?
Well, I guess
he would lose, if he gets indicted, I guess he lose that right. He no longer qualifies.
No, I don't think that's the case, though. I don't think there's anything that's written that says,
Michael,
that.
They're going to make sure he never runs again. That's the bottom line.
No, Janet, they're going at Colorado, the state of Colorado, and one other state. They're using the 14th Amendment to take him off the ballot, right? Okay, and that was and that's been the argument right now, which is going to the Supreme Court. Okay, if that's legal, and they're going to have to deal with that. The Supreme Court has arguments over that. The thing is, though, that where a president, a former president of the United States, is protected with Secret Service for the rest of their lives and pretty much most of their family. Is there any documentation? Like I said, this is unprecedented for a president. Wouldn't they have to really come up with a law, since this has never been addressed before, that if he's found guilty, do they say, okay, well, yeah, we're going to have to, you know, amend the law or amend something? They'd have to do something.
Well, it's like I said, they can take that right away. They can take that right away because he lost his right, just like he had the insurrection, and he thinks it's still okay. It's not, you know.
I understand what you're saying, though, Jen. With all due respect, I understand what you're saying, but then it's not. But it's the thing is that where, when you say that he lost his rights, it has to be something, a documentation of in the event. This is a whole new event. This is a whole new event that's happening here in American history. So how do you address that? How
they
do they say, well, you know what?
Scholars are saying he can campaign from prison. You know, they're saying, I just asked the question, can Trump go to jail if convicted? And other indictment questions. So former President Donald Trump legal troubles are escalating by the day. And these are scholars who saying that, yeah, he can still campaign from prison.
I said that, right. He can still
campaign. But you're saying because he's got Secret Service, you saying because he got Secret Service, he can't be in jail.
Hold that thought, my sister. Yes, he can campaign from prison if the cases, as we just said earlier, his team is trying to delay. That's a strategy that any lawyer, defense lawyer, will do, especially when he's trying to delay it in order to get to the presidency. He's trying to push this back, every case back, as far as he can. They're throwing up all kinds of stuff. Let me finish out now. So let's say he's successful at that. And these cases are pushed back. And then, of course, you know, he has the right to go ahead and appeal, right? And in a lot of cases, when you're high-profile folks, because look at it this way. If it was you or me dealing with something like this, we would have been in jail and would have to make bond. This gentleman has not had to make bond, and none of his cohorts, okay? That's the difference, too. But the point I'm saying is this, is that if he could push this back all the way up to the primaries and this, that, and the other, and they keep, you know, getting it to from court to court to court to court, and then he's the front runner, and let's say his followers, you know, let's say hypothetically he wins, already said that, hey, look, he will only pardon himself. But let's
well,
look
Michael.
At it with the fact. Though
can
he
I
was
say
a former,
like
let me finish up. I'm going to let you speak. It's just let me finish this, and then you can say what you have to say. But either way, he is still a former president. He has Secret Service security right now. And even if he's found guilty, how do you allow the taxpayers' money to protect a former president who has been found guilty, put in prison? First time this would ever happen, if it does. And that's all I'm asking. How would they do that? How do you
home confinement, home confinement, probation, home confinement. He don't have
okay,
to go
so
to prison.
Okay, so he wouldn't go to prison. He wouldn't go to prison.
He would be at home confinement.
He wouldn't go to prison. Right. Okay.
But still, he still would be found guilty, and he'll have to be probably on probation. And they said he can get home confinement.
Okay. That's not prison, but I get what you're saying. You're right. The most they probably can do is home confinement. You're right. Because you're not going to put a former president in prison and knowing that you have to have security for him in a prison with other inmates. He would have to be in a freaking...
There's a lot of high-profile people in prison that are with not around other inmates.
Not presidents, Janet. Not former presidents, though.
Federal prison is so different from regular prison. Prison and federal prison are two different things.
To a certain extent, you know what, and people get killed and die. Right here, we have a federal prison right here in Georgia. You know that. On Boulevard. And that was the one that caught on fire.
What the fire got to do with what we're talking about?
Well, no. What I'm saying, that's the one that caught on fire. There was a riot in that prison. So anything can happen in a prison. I understand what you're saying. Home confinement is probably the only thing they can really do. To me, the bottom line is this, is that where I think that the goal is to remove Donald Trump for having any business and any control in any kind of political field. I think that's really the goal of many individuals in politics, including some Republicans, because he hijacked the party. You know, there's an audio of him saying that where he thinks that the country was better run under Democratic rule than it was Republican. It's actually an audio of that.
You know, it's a well-known fact that all the crazy stuff that he did when he was in office was not good, but people have short-term memory. But he didn't build the fence. He didn't stop people from coming across the border. He did separate families. That was about it.
Okay. But I made my point clear, is that where, to be honest with you guys, all you listeners, I do not see Donald Trump being behind the bars of any prison in these United States at all. There's no way. I'll agree with Janet. Confinement, maybe. Control, loss of his businesses, because, of course, you would lose your businesses if you're fined and this, that, and the other, and you have to sell off assets and all types of stuff. Yeah, I can see that. They can do that. If you can't pay us in time, which they really don't want that from a millionaire or so-called billionaire, pay us in money. Pay us in money. Pay us in everything you own. And I think that that's probably what would happen, more so than him going behind bars. They will make him broke as much as they possibly can. My sister, are you still there? Do you have a comment on that part of it, though? Do you believe that that's really what will probably happen or what they really want to do?
I am still here. I think that's what they're going to end up doing, and it's just a reminder of how life is not fair and politics are real, and it's thrown in our face as, like you said, taxpayers. But what can we do? I feel helpless.
Mm-hmm.
Vote.
Right.
That's what we have to do.
Yes, ma'am.
Every vote.
You know what? And you're right.
Because we don't want to lose our democracy.
Voting is the best thing you can do. But, you know, the thing is that I have a problem with us voting is that mm-hmm. we only vote for one thing. We got to get out of that mindset of that, well, when the presidential vote comes, I'm going to vote for this person because of this. I'm going to vote for that person. You got to vote for everything local.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, you got to do your research. I'm sure many
right.
people, I'm not saying just you guys, but you see signs all up and down the highway of these names. You're like, who the hell is that? Never heard of them.
That's
you
right.
You
can't throw a vote away. You know, they got Cornel West. They got Robert Kennedy. You got all these, something Steinman, some lady. You got all these people who can take votes away from Biden. And that right now, that's something we do not need. A lot of people are so afraid that Kamala Harris, being a black woman, and she's vice president. They're so afraid that if something happened to Biden, we'll have a black female president. That's
I understand what you're saying. Not just the fact that we will have a second black president. We already have Barack Obama, but the fear is the first female president.
That's what I said.
Let me say that we already had one black president. They don't want another one. But to have a female president and being black would be right. Would be like, oh my God, are you serious? What the hell is happening here in America? See, so that's what you would hear, right? But
so they would they would be willing to take a thief, a crook, or whatever you want to call them, somebody who's told over 35,000 lies they don't even count anymore. And the toll is still ticking. They would rather take that person over the chance of having a black female president.
And I'll tell you why. Because he has a story. And I don't have to tell you the whole story. He has a story. That many of them were like, wow, that was genius. You know, he has a story. I did this. I did that. I pulled up my bootstraps. No, you didn't. Your daddy gave you some money. Oh, well, you know, I built these casinos. No, you didn't. You went bankrupt. And you screwed a bunch of companies out of paying them. That's how they turned around and said,
a lot of people out of a scholarship.
Out of what? Oh, yeah, you did that. That's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
But see, unfortunately, we are a society that look at the shortcuts and the hook and crook mentality. Think about it this way, to be honest. And folks will say, oh, you just hate Donald Trump. I said, no, you know what? Donald Trump is just a gangster. That's it. He has a gangster mentality. You look at some of your rappers who are some of the biggest rappers in the world right now. Some of them used to deal drugs. And young kids worship them. Correct me if I'm wrong. You look at certain families. Not what I'm saying. There are a lot of people that are popular, historic figures, who've gone on to be millionaires, and they were gangsters. They did criminal activity, but they got out the game early. And use their money to do something different. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know my sister knows that I'm right.
True that.
You all know I'm right. You all know it's true.
But Mike, I just want to address the point of you speaking about Kamala versus Trump. I mean, this goes back to United States being a capitalist place, correct?
Country,
because that's how Trump is. He acts capitalist, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, you know, get as much as you can and every man for themselves type of mentality, as opposed to, you know, where how, I don't know, Greece operates, where it's more like they're more socialist. We are get it how you live it and get all you can monetarily and material-wise.
And then we have a president right now who is trying to do a lot for the people, has done a lot for the people, but don't get the credit, you know?
Yes.
And we know Trump is for himself, not for the people. He's got all these followers, and he only cares about Trump. His own niece has wrote a book on him. Being a narcissist.
Well, the thing is, you're right to a certain extent. He only cares about Trump, but the thing is that also, I think he cares a lot about how should I put it? He cares about a lot of the people, and he's just a guy who just wants to be in power. He believes in being in power.
Who do he care about?
No. I would think he cares about other people. I'm not going to say that Donald Trump only cares about himself. I think he cares about other people.
It's proof in the pudding, Michael.
I'm saying immediate family, stuff like that. He cares about other people. I'm sure he cares about his youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to say the man just cares about himself, and he just worships himself. But the thing is that where the man is where, again, like I said, he's just a person who just, I just believe that he just knows how to manipulate. And he's a master manipulator.
Mike, why did his own wife slap his hand away from him when he tried to hold the wife's hand?
Right. All the time. When he was in the office, whenever they went on trips, she didn't even want to walk next to him. You know why? Because the affairs he was having while she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. How come she's still with him?
You know why.
Okay, you tell me.
It's not love, I tell you that.
It's sure not love. It was because he became president of the United States. That's about it. Other than that, for recognition, but that don't mean you got to sleep with
a
person. Look how long it took her to go to the White House.
Keep it going, Janet. I'll be right back.
Yeah, it took her forever to get to the White House. She was trying to say it was because of her son and school and all these things. She did not want to go to the White House. Mm-hmm. And the look on her face during the inauguration, if looks could kill,
yeah,
it was worse than the hand slap.
Now, Janet, okay, now if I'm to be fair, he does have likability about himself. Like, he was able, whether it was crooked or not, he's I think he's a self-made millionaire. I don't know if he got, his father helped him, but anyway, he made some of his millions on his own. That's one thing. And the other part is the fact that he is not afraid to speak his mind in a fearless manner, and he's entertaining, and he is, like, if there's a charm to him, like, he's, you can watch him and want to hear what he's saying, whether it's a bunch of crock or not. What do you say?
He wants to be a dictator for one day. That is not true. He's already putting things in place. If he gets in, he's not getting out.
Yeah.
As we see, having a Senate and the House and the DOJ, And the Supreme Court, he's got his hands everybody's scale. And are we supposed to have a president who is manipulating, telling people in the House what to do, telling people in the Senate what to do? That's why they just threw that one bill out that was necessary, that they needed at the border. Biden, from the time he's been in office, he's been trying to pass something at the border, and the Republicans keep knocking it down.
Yeah.
You know, so I came from upstate New York. I know about Donald Trump. I know how he messed up New Jersey with the casinos and how the state had to take that over, you know. He got money because of his dad. His dad left him a lot of money, and he ran through it too.
Wow.
And he's not right now. Nobody knows what Trump is worth because he tells too many lies. He tries to give you the impression he's got so many billions of dollars. You know, that's why he doesn't like he doesn't like all these billionaires like Warren Buffett or Bezos, and he don't like them because they have billions of dollars.
In real life.
Yeah, right. And he's never been part of that club. Mm-mm. I know one thing. If we need to vote and not let him come in, because we're going to lose our democracy. We were hanging by a thread. The insurrection that they say is not an insurrection, it was just a riot. I saw it for myself. I saw them march to the Capitol. I saw them fight like hell, like their lives depend on it, because they weren't going to have a country anymore. These people were serious. It was not just a plain little riot.
Yeah,
and they didn't stop until he said, go home. They were going to kill Nancy Pelosi, and they were going to hang Mike Pence. They had a gallows erected up there at the Capitol so they could hang him. If they had got their hands on Mike Pence, then he would have been a dead person by now.
That's why he
wouldn't get in the car when they was trying to get him away from the Capitol. He said, I trust you, but I don't trust the driver.
All right, ladies, I'm back. I'm sorry. I'm back. I have to step away for a moment. Let me see here. I had a couple of calls come in, and then I had to step away for a minute. I was listening, though, and that's interesting, and you're right. I was listening to a little bit of the last part. Again, like I said with Donald Trump, he's an individual that, you know, has really, to be honest, again, you know, to me, I have to look at him like, wow, this is a genius psychopath, you know, because he's able to do what a lot of other individuals have tried to do, and understand what I say when I say that. He has a way of someone said this earlier on another show. There's a difference between having a conversation. Remember the word con? So having a conversation or communication, to commune. This is what we'll say on another show. Conversation sounds a whole lot about convincing, and he can convince people. He has been able to convince people to believe the lie.
But Michael, it's because of MAGA.
Let me finish, Janet. I mean, just I want you guys to think about this. This man has done in the years. Look at the things he refused to do. He refused to go to debates now. Refused. I'm the front runner. I ain't got to go talk to people. You know,
because you don't know how to debate.
Let me finish, Anna. I don't have to debate.
I'm just asking.
You know, I got my suckers already in a row. Like having ducks in a row, I got my suckers already. They already got me at that threshold. So I don't have to, you know, share with my followers or the rest of the American public what my plan is. Though he already said what his plan is. He don't have to do it. He's that confident. He's that arrogant. He's that bold. Think about that. The only president who would never go to the White House, what was it called? The journalist dinner and everything. Only one who would not go once he became president. He went to all the other ones. And he's a former president who did support the Democratic Party at one point. He supported the Green Tea. He has been donating money to every party that would assist him in whatever he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I say there's an audio that shows. In fact, Jay King played on his show last week. So Donald Trump said, you know, the economy does run better when the Democrats are in charge. And that was not AI. Okay? So that tells you a little bit about this guy. He's all over the map. Whatever works for him, he's going to make that work. And fortunately, he found, I have to say it, you guys, the weak link. He found the weak link and managed to really do his own agenda.
Yeah.
He went into the Republican Party and found the weak link in that party, and now it's the MAGA Party. In my opinion, that's what it is now. Not the Republican Party. The MAGA Party. Okay? Something he created. So in my opinion, that's where it stands. Here you are willing individuals to vote for a person who is dealing with, you know, not just charges, 90-something charges. You or me could not run for mayor, city councilman, or anything if we just came out of prison. We would not get over 12 votes, and that might be just family members. But this man has the number one spot. That's a scary thought while these cases go on. That's a scary thought, that America is willing to go ahead and say, you know what, so what he did. He can run. The country's better run as a businessman. That's what was first said in the beginning of his campaign when he first, America is better run by a businessman. Well, I could say you might be right to a certain extent, but that businessman better have some scruples and some understanding about politics. Some understand, because apparently
if
he
only
really don't.
Right.
You know. Janet, you have a response to anything on that? And then we're going to change the subject because we are at
the
top
of the
hour.
Yeah, I have something to say. First of all, Trump did not create MAGA. MAGA created Trump. Because MAGA was looking for their little messiah, somebody that was going to be able to take all the people they don't like to Guantanamo and have tribunals and be able to put people in behind bars and cages. If this happens within the United States, it's going to be war. It's not going to just be war against Democrats, against Republicans, because I know one thing, I'm not going back in time. I know I was one of the ones who marched in the 60s and in the 70s in order to have better rights, and I'm not going backwards. So they can think whatever they want to think. Trump is using people. He's got a lot of sheeple running behind him.
$1,000 into a page newspaper ad. I apologize for that article coming up. I'm going to go ahead and clear that out. All right, so let me open up a mic here. Hold on just a minute. Let me go ahead and change this audio here that I got.
I'm changing over to
another topic. So hold tight just a minute. I'm trying to remove this here that's playing on my laptop. I want to go ahead and get that off. Go ahead and clear that out real quick. And so now it's gone away. And I have a hand waving. And I know this is from Las Vegas, Nevada. And I appreciate them calling in. They have their hand wave. And this is my brother. I'm pretty sure it is. I think it is. Let me go ahead and open up their mic. Hold on a minute. Make sure it's the right person. And I believe this is Eric.
Hey.
I think it's Eric Kimbrough.
Yep.
Eric, what's up, my brother?
Yes,
welcome.
Sir.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm just driving around Vegas in this madness here. Traffic is crazy heading up for the Super Bowl stuff. Hey, you said you were going to change the subject. I had raised my hand because I had some things on Trump, but if you're going to change the subject,
Go ahead and share your part on Trump. We have about a good 45 of minutes. We can get into the Super Bowl, but go ahead and share your part on Trump, and then we'll go into the Super Bowl thing that you're right there in the heart of it. But go ahead and share what you have to say about Trump and the election.
Okay, and I'll try and speed through it, so to speak. But, okay, obviously I'm not a person in a position to hang out with Trump, so nothing I know or heard is firsthand. But, you know, there are audio recordings. And when it comes to the presidency, there was an audio recording of Trump way back when where he said, if I was going to run for president, I would run as a Republican. I think at the time he was supporting mm-hmm. Democratic stuff because, like you said, he supports whoever he can. And then him being a genius kind of person, they had another article came out a while back, and they compared the amount of money his father left him and what he's done with it, and they were just like, he could have done better if he just put it in a savings account. And you know, savings accounts don't make much. So, like, one person said, he kind of ran through his dad's money, and then he started looking, where else can I get money? He's an opportunist. And, like, I know you were saying you believe Trump cares for people. And I think on a very limited basis he might, but I think he's more driven. Like, with some of the stuff going on now, you have people out of the White House who said how Trump can be kind of petty, or if he feels you've been disloyal. And
right.
I think he's more motivated by if he feels he's been insulted. And that kind of goes back to when you look at the Super Bowl kneeling stuff. What people forgot, Trump tried to buy a football team way back when, and the owners wouldn't have him. And that's why he went over to the USFL. And so he had a grudge against that. So as the minority players were kneeling, and to the lady from New York, she knows this probably well, and probably everybody does, with you had that Central Park Five that he put out all those ads that they were guilty, these animals. And then when they were proven that they weren't guilty, he never said, you know, he never took it back. So he's got a predisposition to be against that. So when he's already mad at the NFL owners, and he has the thing with minorities, unless he marries them, or that'd be foreigners, then, you know, that's when the whole, you know, these players, you know, they should be kicked out, or, you know. So when I see him, I see a person who's petty, and he feels he's above the level where you have to worship him and do what he says, or he's going to get you, right?
Amen.
So I look at him differently. And when you have an audio recording of and this is the other thing, and then I'll close it up on Trump. Trump is a grown man who has some means of money. I don't like it when people try to re-explain what he said. In the specific example, they had the audio recording, everybody knows, with the, if you're a famous person, you can grab them, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times Trump will say stuff, and then his supporters will go, well, what he meant was. And my thing is, if here's a grown man of means, and you always have to explain what he meant, I don't want him nowhere near power or controlling anything that I do for any reason. Because if you got it, every time he opens his mouth, he goes, what he really meant was, well, why can't he say what he really meant? Because he did say what he really meant, and you're trying to defend him. It's how I see it. And again, I haven't been in any of these rooms and closed doors, but he's got issues that don't jive with how I look at things and how I like things to go. So I don't give him the credit, but where I do give him credit, he's good at filling a hole. And what one lady said, I'm sorry because I came on late, Trump did not create Maddie. He absolutely did not. But what he did, he stepped up, and like they say, he said the part out loud that nobody else was willing to say. So then they rallied to his flag because they knew he was going to keep saying the thing that they wanted to say.
And I believe
when he got in office, there was an increase in incidents. Violence or racial stuff, because people felt like they could. But also what the one lady from New York said, who said she marched and stuff like that, she's not going back in time. What these MAGA folks don't know is you're not really living in a world where people are going to bow their head and allow you to do stuff. And if things come to a head, they just are. Because you had that group in Atlanta, the NFA, I'm not going to say what I mean, the not screwing around group, where they, like, actually marched on the headquarters of the KKK there, but supposedly they were out of town. Even though they told them they were coming, I think they ran. Again, just my opinion. But, yeah, times are different. And people thinking that they can get away with stuff, it's not going to happen. And if Trump gets in office, whether he gets in or not, there's no good outcome. If he doesn't, it's going to be, well, you know, his mother told him, if you don't get what you want, things must be rigged. You know, some form of that. So he believes that. So if he loses, all his followers are going to be like, how could he lose? He has so many more votes. Well, the population keeps going up. You probably could lose with a vote total that would eclipse every presidential election in the 1800s. That doesn't mean it's rigged. It's just the population is larger. but you still got left.
Right.
And if he gets in and starts to do stuff, you have people like the not screwing around people, and other folks are like, no, we are not going back in time.
Amen.
Out now and see what happens. But that's kind of how I see things. And not trying to throw religion into stuff, but biblically there's a lot of things that says at certain times things will happen. And unfortunately, Trump just may be an agent of all these things that's supposed to happen ahead of end of times. Because, you know, when you can, like you said, when you can go out there and you can call for the vice president to be hung, when you can pay off a porn star, when they have the recordings, hey, can you just find me votes, this many votes so I can win your state? I mean, when you have all this audio and people are still like, well, why isn't he on the ballot, or we can't take him off the ballot, you know, that's, you know, worse than Jim Jones. Jim Jones had a small group of people that he took over and fed him Kool-Aid. Trump has a whole group of supporters with military-grade weapons and no idea how to use them properly, in the sense of they just ready to shoot somebody that don't look like them, regardless of why. I have a lot of negative feelings.
Well, you know what? You are on point. Most definitely. I appreciate you calling in. You guys, this is my brother Eric. We've known each other ever since, what, grade school? So we've known each other for many years in California. And,
we were drumming in junior high together.
Yeah, marching band and everything. Junior high. We've known each other for many years, and so I appreciate you calling in and finding time to call in. You know, this is something that I mean, we every week we always do a little bit of political, you know, forum here. Sometimes it goes short, sometimes it goes long. Normally it goes longer because every week there's something happening in politics as we get closer to the election. So I don't have a problem with it at all. I think that I would love to hear folks' point of views and what they look at and their opinions, and that's how come I do what I do, or we do what we do. But right now it's almost 7:30, and I really want us to get to two topics. Super Bowl, which is tomorrow. And remember, the middle of next week is Valentine's Day. You know, Valentine's just got buried underneath Super Bowl all of a sudden. I don't hear anybody talking about Valentine's at all, at least on my end of the map. It's like, oh, yeah, Valentine's. Oh, I got to buy some chocolate and some flowers, or I got to take someone out to dinner. But let's do one at a time. Oh, you guys take a pick. You want to do the Super Bowl first, or you want to do the Valentine's first? I'm going to let you all speak out. And we only got 30 minutes.
Super Bowl, Mike. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl first? Okay. Okay, so you see where Valentine's is not really that important anymore, right? So anyway, so Super Bowl tomorrow. And I was asked a question on another show. I'm going to ask this same question on this show. Remember that this is probably America's new pastime. You remember it was baseball and apple pie. Baseball was the number one thing. But over the last few, I'll say decades, you know, with the halftime shows and all the stuff like that, you don't see great halftime shows in baseball or basketball. See it in the Super Bowl. You don't see the advertisements in those other sports like you see in the Super Bowl. And now Super Bowl has become technically the number one American sport, the most viewed program every year. Can you believe that? Every year the Super Bowl gets more viewership than any other show. So I want to ask you guys a question here. Prior to me asking Eric this, are you watching the Super Bowl tomorrow? Which I already asked Janet. She said it depends. Get your responses. I mean, everybody on the board and in the chat room. And also, do you believe that sports, particularly this sport, is rigged? Because that's a real big thing that's being said.
Okay. Mike, I'll watch tomorrow. Unequivocally, I'm going to watch. I've been watching up to this point. So, yes, I'm excited for it. And is it rigged? The more I listen to the fellas and the more I watch certain things, you can't rig it, but so much for people going to really catch on from the legal standpoint. But do they make certain calls when it's the home team? Or do they have preferential, you know, calls? And to a degree, yeah.
I'm glad you said that because on another show, they asked me the question and they interrupted me and I said, well, it depends on the calls, you know. Because I don't believe that every player is in on to the game, you know what I'm saying, as far as rigging it. I think that if it was rigged, it comes from higher up, right? Keep in mind that NFL teams are privately owned. I think there's only one team that's not, and that is Green Bay. But all these teams are privately owned. And we have to remember, every bit of sports is a form of entertainment. Let me go to the lady at the house. Janet, do you think that the games are rigged?
No, I don't. The Super Bowl game is rigged. I really don't.
Okay.
That's all I can see. I just don't think so.
Okay.
I'm rooting for the Chiefs. The Chiefs win, but I still, even if they lose, I don't think they're rigged. It's
okay.
Rigged.
Eric, you still here? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
You think it's rigged?
Okay. And I have to qualify this so you know where I'm getting my information from. I have a cousin. He's older than me. He's like my parents' age. He was in the Vietnam War and stuff like that. Back in the early days when they were setting up sports books and stuff, he actually came to Vegas and helped them set up some things. So he was a professional gambler. And while the Super Bowl itself may not be rigged, this is how sports are rigged. And, I mean, you guys can take this for what you want, but this is how sports rigged. And like Mike said, it's at a higher level. And this is what I mean. And I'll give you a football example, then a basketball. You know, football, most games are played on a Sunday. Then you have Monday night and you have Thursday. Okay. When they are kind of rigging it, and this is what the professional gamblers look for, you may have a team that plays Monday night game, and then they have to play the next Sunday, right? And so they don't get the full 7 days. And to most people, they're like, well, that's just one day. But with with these big bodies and the poundage that they take, one short day is a big deal. And you may have, let's say, we'll go East Coast, right? Say if you have the Rams and the New York Jets, and if the Jets play on a Monday night, so they're going to have a short thing, and say the Rams played at home on that Sunday, and then for the next week's schedule, you have the Jets flying across country, across time zones to play the Rams, who had a home game, stayed at home. Now you have a short week and travel versus somebody who has a full week and played at home. And those are the kind of ways that at a higher level, when you look at the schedule, professional gamblers go, okay, or a team had a bye week and they're playing against a team who had one, you know, who has a short week. So that's how they do it on that. Or you take, and I'll use the basketball as an example, and this is the last one. And this is what I learned from my cousin and my brothers and people look at it. Denver, Colorado, Mile High Stadium. There, and even basketball, when you have a basketball team that's maybe on one of those swings, right, and they play like four out of the last six nights or something, and at the end of that, they have to go into Denver, which the airport is a long way away, so you got a long trip, long bus ride, and now you're at altitude after you've been playing, and maybe Denver was on a home stand, so they've been there. That is a form of rigging the game because you're taking a tired team and running them around the country and making them play against the team at home. So there are ways at the high level that they can do things because my brother, he'll be like, oh, hey, can you play this? Because, look, this team here, they've been off for a week, and they've been at home, and this team, they've gone all over the country. So, and like I said, you can take that for what it's worth, but if you just think about it, if I'm fully rested, I've been having my home cooking, you know, I'm with my family, you know, mentally, spirit, whatever, everything is right. And I'm on a team that, man, we had, you know, we've had a rough road thing, and I got to go fly somewhere, take an hour bus ride, and now I'm at altitude where I can't catch my breath. If it's an overtime game, my people are going to be tired, and you're not. I mean, that's just the physics of it. So I believe that to be true. I can't prove it, but it makes sense. So the Super Bowl itself, is it rigged? Probably it's hard to rig that because, like you said, everybody has to be in on it. But during the year, like if they get to the point where, hey, this year we want a certain team in, and you look at schedules, or for basketball, you know, like when they give a rough schedule, that's kind of how they adjust things. That's from a professional gambler's point of view.
Because when you talked about schedules, and I want you to respond with something else too, but I'm glad that you said that because, see, the things that where I've always wondered, how do they make these schedules each season, okay, especially in the NFL? Because I hear folks say, so-and-so got an easy season. And then you look at some of the teams where,
yes,
you know what I'm saying, they're in the same conference, or, you know what I'm saying, you know, like, you know, the Falcons are in the same league, I'm sorry, or the same division, I guess I would say, as the Saints. They have to play the Saints twice. They have to play the Buccaneers twice. Just like the Raiders got to play, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, if they lose to certain teams that are not in the same division, okay, it's not that bad as long as they beat the ones that are in the same one, right? Okay.
Right.
And there's teams who
would
only,
in the playoffs.
You know, as long as they, right, as long as they win out in their division, they have a chance to be in the wild card. Because they beat everybody in their same division. Okay, so I get that part of it. But based on the scheduling, go back based on the scheduling, who sets up the schedules for these games? Because it's not always the same. I remember where, when the Raiders used to come here to Atlanta, and I never miss a Raiders and Atlanta game because, you know, I'm a Raiders fan. But I haven't seen that schedule in a long time. I've seen it three times since I've lived here in Georgia, where the Raiders come here. But I haven't seen that. So how did that change? How do they make their mind up? Who actually sits down and makes these schedules? So that's a good question. Now, you being in Las Vegas, you've seen it change building up to the Super Bowl. What can you share with us that you've seen that's just been so major, you know, building up to what's going to happen tomorrow? And when did you see it? Was it like a year ago when they knew it was coming, this and the other? Did you see a whole lot of new stuff being built up and this and the other? And also, you know, of course, whenever big entertainment comes to town, I'm sure there's areas of town that you might know as Skid Rows. Did they start pushing those people out and this, that, and the other? Share with us what you've seen change in Vegas.
You know, sports is big business. Once they knew that the Raiders were coming here and they had plans for the stadium, you know, anytime there's a new stadium, they put them on that list for Super Bowl pretty quickly, you know, part of the agreement so they can pay off stuff. And then the building starts, and they start figuring out how they're going to get all this money. And with Vegas, I heard some local comments because the F1 just happened here, F1 racing, and a lot of the businesses are mad because they lost a lot of money. But because of the F1 prior to the Super Bowl, they had reasons to come out, you know, Chamber of Commerce and stuff like, hey, we need to do all this construction and building and all this for what's coming up for the infrastructure, and it'll be great for you guys because when everything's gone, you'll have all this stuff here. And the business owners themselves, there's a lot of unhappy folks for what they were doing. Some businesses went out of business because they were just in an area that needed to be built up, so they didn't have – they didn't have the people coming in, and there was no, okay, because we may have to shut you down, we're going to give you this stipend or something like that. So it's not all It's not all Yahoo and we're making tons of money. You know, it's still certain places, certain things seem to profit the most. And that seems to be with some political backing, like with anything where, you know, you have a person in a certain district with a little more pull or power to get things for their district. But, yeah, it has been crazy what they've been doing for over 2 years, I believe. Don't quote me on that, but it's been quite a while. And they're like, we got to do this, we got to do that. And they're just putting all this money into getting these people here, but not everybody's going to profit equally. And that's been shown by the fact that businesses have gone out of business. You know, you got F1 international thing coming, you think everybody's like Yahoo, but how do some go out of business and some don't? There's that underbelly somewhere in there.
Well, by you living in Las Vegas, and a lot of folks don't, you know, never been to Vegas. There's some folks who have that haven't. I've been there a few times and everything, and that where, you know, there's no state tax, right?
Correct.
Am I wrong? There's no state tax, just federal tax. But the cost of things are a little bit higher, probably more so than other states. I know I had a friend of mine that said that, hell, a gallon of milk was almost $10. Well, not $10, but close to it. Almost a big bill in Hawaii. Is it something that you can share with us the benefits of, because that's where you live, the benefits that you look at and based on how you budget and everything to make it a good place to live? Las Vegas, a lot of folks think of it as a place of just a gambling town and this and the other. I know that my son lived there, and he moved to L.A., but, you know, he said, that, hey, look, you know, a lot of folks don't understand when you come to Vegas, don't go to the strips. Go to the downtown area if you come in here to gamble. What would you say about that? Is that true? You know, look for the best discounts and everything. And, again, back on the Super Bowl thing, if you don't mind, what is it that you've seen so far that has really blew your mind over this Super Bowl weekend?
The thing that made me come to Vegas and comparing prices and stuff, right? Okay, so yeah, we grew up in Pasadena, Altadena, California's an expensive state. Next to California, Nevada is not that expensive, and you have the lack of state taxes. So when I was retiring from the military, I wanted to go back home and, you know, and hang out with folks, but I was like, nah, if I go there, I'm going to have to work harder than I'm really willing to work right now at this point in my life. So I was like, okay, it's going to be Arizona or Nevada. And, you know, with all that crazy stuff that people have seen recently in Arizona, but I saw from even when I went to college, they were the last state to recognize MLK Day. They just refused to. I was like, it ain't going to be Arizona. Sorry. So price-wise, it's cheaper than California. I can't really compare to other states because I don't go shopping in too many other states. We don't live anywhere near the Strip. We live about 8 miles from the Strip, but depending on traffic, it can be 20 to 40 minutes away on the west side out in Summerlin. So, like, my kids, while we live in Las Vegas proper, so to speak, they got to grow up without having slot machines and gambling and, you know, the half-naked people wandering around trying to take pictures with folks. So we were far enough away to be isolated from it. And any place that's a tourist trap, you know, I mean, I don't know, there's probably a better term, but any place that's a tourist trap, you go to places and they have menus priced for tourists and foreigners, and then they have local prices. And so a lot of people here, when they say don't go to the Strip, there's even gambling places. There's, like, some local places where people go to play the slot machines there because the rate of return is better. So there's a tourist high-price area. And you can even see it, like, In-N-Out Burger. If you go to the In-N-Out Burger, if you go to McDonald's on the Strip, and then you just go, like, 4 miles away, prices are different just because it's in that tourist
area.
And that's something factually I've seen. And once I noticed it, you know, like, if when the kids were younger, if they got hungry and were downtown, I'm like, you're just going to have to hold on to your stomach for a minute. We need to get to a low-rent district.
Same company, which is owned by the same – actually, for you guys who don't know about In-N-Out, it's a major brand on the West Coast. They will not come this far east because they want to use their same suppliers, but long story short, the family who started it and everything, the daughter inherited. She inherited in her 40s, I think it was. She's probably maybe 50 now. I mean, she's a millionaire, beyond millions. Yeah, I know what you're talking about there. Wow, but a price difference based on just a mile or two? Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like if you're out of Summerlin and you go get, let's see, hotcakes only, you can get them for, they're like priced at $3.99 plus tax. You go down to the Strip, hotcakes only, you're paying over $5. And you add in tax like $5.25. No, it's like, really. And gas prices, something that I read and then I looked at, normally, and this isn't Super Bowl related, but when you have like a low-income area or where people don't travel as much and stuff, gas prices tend to be higher. And I don't know if that's still the – I looked at this like years ago, and there's certain areas because they're like these people are locked into this area, and they just raise the price there. And that – maybe that has something to do with like, you know, redlining and you know, keep them down, you know. I don't know. I don't want to get – into my personal feelings that I just have for no reason.
Right. Okay, so let me go ahead and hit up everybody here on the board real quick. My co-host, the lady of the house, Janet Davis, what do you think about what you just shared about Vegas, about what's going on there with the Super Bowl and everything? Because there's even more so that I want to share with you guys before we get out of here. We only got 15 minutes. I want to hit everybody up. Share what you've heard about the Super Bowl, what you believe in the – you know, the gambling. He shared a lot of stuff. The big thing we already talked about, what do you have to say about it?
I'm being honest. I haven't heard anything like that, but I do know when I have gone to Vegas, there are, like you said, the Strip is a lot higher, food-wise, hotel, everything is much more higher than if you were outside of the
outside of the area of the Strip, or if you go to downtown, the old downtown, right? Right. That's very true. Anything else you want to add to that? No? Okay. Yeah, for any listeners, if you ever travel in Vegas, don't get hooked on the Strip. That's where you got Bellagio, Paris, you got Encore and all that, you know, you got so many of the Strip hotels, and of course, you know, they're going to bet on you wanting to be on the Strip. They got all the entertainment factors and everything, but start looking at the fact that if you go more north to the old section and then out around, outside of, you know, the Strip, go to like, what is it? Is it Red Rock, Eric?
Yeah, that's not my way. Called?
Yep, Red Rock. And honestly, go to Red Rock because it's really Red Rock out there. As you drive over there, you're like, damn, look at those rocks. They're red. You know, so it's a visual thing, you know. But they got some great casinos and restaurants there too. The cost is a whole lot less, and I'm pretty sure that if you're there now, if you're listening to the show, if you're there now, you know, get off the Strip, go off the Strip, go off the grid, and save some money.
Can I say one thing real quick, Mike?
Sure, sure.
Yeah, one thing to remember about Vegas or yeah, just Vegas in general. Like when Mike says downtown is cheaper, you know, you have the older buildings. They're not always destroying those and building bigger ones. If you haven't been, or if you have been, you notice they went to these super giant casinos. They were imploding the older ones and making these big casinos. That's very expensive, and they got to pay that. They got to pay for those things. And just remember, no casino was ever built because people are coming here and winning or they're getting great deals. Casinos are built off the backs of people who lose when they're gambling and stay on the strip and pay for that extra stuff. So there's a reason, you know, if you haven't been here and you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, they got to pay for it. You know, Bellagio, Aria, all these giant places. Somebody's got to pay that. And the people who owned it or built it, they don't want to be the ones paying it. They want you to come in here and give them your money. Or, you know, people are like, well, I got $2,000 for vacation. I don't care if I win or not. I want to have a good time. They love you because they definitely don't want you to care if you win.
Since I was one of those people who they love.
And you're 1,000% right, because here's the thing. Again, I was saying, and I'm just have to keep track of how much time we have, because you know, I mean, ever since I was a kid, my family used to go to Vegas all the time. I remember when the first Circus was built, and I mean that was great. My mom was killing it, okay, on the tables, and they would give me and my brothers comps to go play the games. Remember when Circus had these little games and stuff for kids when they first came there? Okay.
Yep.
Maybe you don't,
yep.
But some of you all happen to know that Circus was a thing where it was a great draw. It was like, keep your kids entertained while you spend your money. But my mom was kicking ass. And once we ran out of tokens, we go to mom, and mom's at the table winning, right? The damn casino was like, gee, guys, go ahead and go play the kids. You know, go like, leave mom alone. We need her to stay here. You follow me? I recall that.
Yep.
I remember that. And I have to be reminded of that, where mom was kicking ass. And that's how come they kept on giving us free games. And they did. But the thing is, see, they're not going to lose on the game. That's free to them. Even now. Everything that's going to happen this weekend, trust and believe, regardless, the casinos are going to make the money. Someone already said that. You look at where, you know, you have the you know, all these sporting bars and everything, all these, you know, these bars where you bet on games and everything. They're not going to lose at all. Am I right, Eric? They're not going to lose.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, you know. They bring people in. Come here for this free watch party. We have giant screens, nothing to get in, but that hot dog costs you $5. And bring your kids.
Hello.
So now you're paying $200 just to eat while you're watching the free game.
And drinks you got to pay for. I mean, the TV's already paid for. The building's paid for. You're given the opportunity to sit there and watch it and cheer along with your fan base. Okay, that cheers along with the same team as you do, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I'm looking at it free over here. Such and such. No, you're not. You're paying
something. They took the movie theater scenario, and they've elevated it so much. You know, movie theater, $5 popcorn, $5 drink. They took that and said, come watch the free Super Bowl, you know. And there's no charge. First come, first serve. So you got to get there early to get your tables. And that means you're going to be hungry all day long. I mean, it's just, man, marketing geniuses.
That's it. Exactly. Thank you. I got 10 minutes left, and I just want to go ahead because, you know, I really, you know, appreciate this. I wish I had more than – I used to have 3 hours, but I don't want to do 3 hours anymore. But quickly, in 10 minutes, I want to look at Valentine's. I know Super Bowl is – tomorrow, if you guys are betting on it, I hope you win. But Valentine's is the middle of next week. Who is Valentine's for, and are you buying Valentine's for your loved one? And what are you buying? Are you buying candy, roses? I'm just trying to understand the meaning of Valentine's. I mean, maybe I need to come back to that next week. But, I mean, I get it, but
well, Michael, can I say something? Since we only got a few more minutes. I don't normally buy anything for Valentine's Day, but my family, my children, buy for me. They bring me gifts. They bring me flowers and candy and clothes or whatever. So I'm happy about Valentine's Day. That's another Christmas for me.
Okay, okay. Let me go around the board. I want to see if my sister's here because, in fact, I'm sorry, sis, hold tight just a minute because I got my brother Eric here in Las Vegas. Eric, Valentine's, I know you got a beautiful wife and a beautiful family. You guys, you know, I've seen the photos of you guys having great vacations and everything, and I love you, man. What's Valentine's, you know, to you? And what do you do?
You know, it depends. I try to do things for my wife, but for us, it's just like what my mother taught me about Christmas. My mom was like, I'm a grown woman. I don't have to wait for December 25th to buy something. If I want it, I go get it, or Pops will get it for me. And, you know, not to take away from the specialness of Valentine's, but I just randomly always do things for my wife. So I think we had one year where, I don't know, she was doing a bunch of stuff, and she just didn't feel like doing anything. She didn't want to. She's like, don't worry about it, because we do other things. And then sometimes I'll do a lot, or I was going to go get gift cards for See's Candies. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get you a bunch of chocolate and some other stuff. And she's like, nah, don't do that this year. We got other stuff we want to do. But then she did buy this heart-shaped purse that she wants to wear. So she's got plans that we're doing something, and I better figure out what we're doing before she has to tell me. You know, but yeah, we do things all the time so that, yes, we do things all the time. So if a situation arises and maybe on that specific day we don't do something, there's no hurt feelings, there's no love lost, there's no, well, he used to do this or she used to do that. We just, you know, we try to keep the honeymoon, friends, and she's like, I can't believe them. They say this and that, and I couldn't be in a relationship if I wasn't happy. Or, you know, it's just a different dynamic for us. It's really laid back. But I don't take it for granted. I guess that's the problem. Yeah.
I have to say, I got 6 minutes. But see, y'all, listen, that's my homie. That's my dog. He straight up. Okay, real quick before I get out of here. My sister there, my other sister, you're still on the board, 301. Makisha, your final words on Valentine's. What does it mean to you, and what do you do?
Listen, it's Love Day, and I'm all about love. I have the word tattooed on my ankle. Red is my favorite color. I think that everybody needs love, and if it's a holiday to celebrate it, that's what we should do, because the world needs more of it.
All right, amen. If you don't mind, are you going to be live this evening?
Yes, I'm going to be live this evening. Yes, sir. I got a student that's on her way to med school. We're going to talk.
Okay, go ahead and share with everybody how they can listen into your broadcast on the JK Network.
Okay, thank you, bro. It's for the info broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. You guys can listen on the link or call, 516-605-9376. We have this young lady. Her name is Reagan Scott. She's an accomplished student from Prairie View. Just got finished her undergrad, and then she's on her way to med school, and I'm just very curious about her journey. She has a story, and y'all know I'm you know, I work at Howard, so I'm very interested in how these young people are matriculating through college.
Okay. Fantastic. So you guys make sure you support my sister right there, okay? She's coming up, in fact, within an hour from now. So she just gave you information. So enjoy the show. It should be fantastic. All her shows are really great. So, look, I got about 5 minutes left, and there was something I wanted to do, but it looks like I'm not going to have time to do it. I'm going to try my best to do it since it's 5 minutes. Let me try this. Okay, I'm trying to pull up the doggone track. Okay, so tomorrow is the Super Bowl, so I want to play something for you guys real quick. Let me see who can name some of these as quick as possible in 4 minutes. I want you to hear And these are different networks that have different NFL teams. Here they are. That's number one. Number two. You heard, which one do you think is the best? Number one, number two, number three, number four, or number five? If you kept track.
I'm keeping track.
Okay. Here's the one I kind of messed up on. Okay, I'm running out of time. We'll try that another year. But my favorite one is the Fox Sports. Keep in mind that the Super Bowl is going to be on CBS Sports tomorrow. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. All of you guys in the chat room, all of you guys that that called in to the show, I appreciate your input. And next weekend, we're going to have another show. We're going to be great, as usual. And hey, it is the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL here in Atlanta, Georgia. Don't forget that Lakeisha Best, go ahead and check her out coming up in less than an hour. We're going to get out of here, okay? God bless. Enjoy your Valentine's if you celebrate it. We're going to